You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. You say, Ashe? We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. You say, Ashe? We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe? We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning. After breaking that one, huh? Good morning. Excuse me, y'all. I'm getting over a little something, something. So if you hear some sniffles and maybe a cough or two, bear with me. Appreciate it. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. Hotel family, hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, must do, could do, will do, and should do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know you got it done. Because we know the kind of brother and sister that y'all is. Y'all get stuff done. I'm saying that encouragingly. That's right. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives on timeforanawakening.com. Look for the podcast. Click on that. Look for African Perspectives. It's right at the top. Click on that, and there you'll have programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program, once again, is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But immediately following this program, on Monday and Wednesdays, it's the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. The Black People Matrix with Franklin Jones, Monday and Wednesday from 1 to 3. This evening, on Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 with Brother Jihad. Following that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Right after that is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, Revive from 8 to 10. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, oh, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. On Sunday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's not me. That's right, it's Sister POC. Her program, once again, is Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. is the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. Go online for all the products that we produce that you can buy. You should buy them and send some to your friends and relatives and say, hey, let's do this, y'all. Let's buy black. For real. Let that be something going into 2020. We're going to try our best to buy from us wherever we can. And if there's nothing in our neighborhood, we'll try to go online. We'll try to buy with us. If you are in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall, which is right off of Georgia Highway 166, the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk. You can pick up that laundry detergent that's produced by us, batteries, toothbrushes, deodorant, all kinds of good stuff. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tahembe is ready to take some brothers and sisters once again to the motherland, Africa for the Africans. And hope you can join If you want to look at pictures from previous tours, his last tour was back in May. He is going again. He's going to South Africa this month, the 22nd of this month to December 2nd. And then he's going to Ghana at the end of next month, December 24th to January 4th, 2020. And you can go online to find out if you still want to go. There's probably still room available. Check with him. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. Give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans. Dr. Renoka Rashidi, my good brother and friend, is in Africa as we speak, but he's going to have a tour next year, January 21st through December 4th. He's going to three countries, Senegal, Gambia, the Kimbele Malongo. Aha, that's right, in the village of Jafare, where Kunta Kinte comes from. And he's also going to Guinea-Bissau. So Senegal, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, January 21st through February 4th next year. It's a great trip. Check out the price, $3,856. And you share a room at that price. But if you want a single room, add $680 more for that time frame. I mean, it's a long time frame. And a treat. In Senegal, you will get a chance to visit the radiocarbonation laboratory established by the great scholar and historian and scientist Dr. Cheikhanta Diop. In fact, it was the reason why they won the debate, because they were able to prove the amount of melanin in the mummies to prove. So that debate was won in 1974, and these Caucasians are still, well, that's another story. We'll talk about it later. That's right, brother. So contact Brother Renoko. You can go online, Dr. Renoko, DrRunoko.com. Dr. Renoko. Check it out. Okay. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, right quick, they're having a holiday sale and an open house this Saturday, November 9th, from 1:30 to 5:30, featuring American African holiday cards, 2020 calendars, Kwanzaa canards and candles and cups and cards and much, much more. So get those candles, brother. I was saying to you all since the last few weeks, get your Kwanzaa kits and candles and so forth. And then from 2:30 to 4:30, enjoy free jazz with Rosemary Robinson and the Cosmos Music Group. Come and browse and munch into the mellow sounds of Cosmos. The Shrine of Black Madonna, located 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, Southwest here in Atlanta, 30310. And the hours of the shrine is Wednesday through Saturday from noon to 7, Sunday from 1 to 3. And if you got books or any other items you need, give them a call at 404-549-8676, 549-8676. Or you can go visit them online at the Shrine of the Black Madonna 9. Shrine of the Black Madonna and the number 9. All right. Also, too, they have a history course every Saturday from 1:30. No, still have it from 1:30 to 3:30. Know Thyself, an African history course, Baba Olatunji. But if you don't and you can't make that, you can always get the multimedia library. Brothers and sisters, this multimedia library is outstanding. It is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. Video files, images, audio files, books, you name it, it has it. So get that video library, multimedia library. The Medu Bookstore. Medu means writing. There's a word that goes after Medu, which is Netcher. Netcher means God. That's what the Greeks called hieroglyphs. It was called Medu Netcher. So the Medu Bookstore writings in the Greenbrier Mall. The bookstore is right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black. You can't miss it. It's right there. So go and give them a call, 404-346-3263. They have books, cards, greeting cards, all kinds of stuff. They have Kwanzaa and stuff for you, too. They're open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., Sunday from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., and the number to call is 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. That's the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Another bookstore, my good brother and friend, Kazimde Ajamu, at Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia. Number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. The Shrine has the Nagash shoes, as well as Brother Jamu has Nagash shoes, the red, black, and green shoes. Go check them out. They got boots for the wintertime, too. Go check it out. All right. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. ULU and the ULU Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m., Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative, in the spirit of Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, Family Center Economics. Check out the Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night. The number to call at 9 o'clock at 9 p.m. Eastern is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Ackerman Institute. Ackerman Institute, Brother Baruti and his lovely wife, Yah Baruti, they have been teaching our children, instructing them, infusing them with knowledge of self, giving them the courage to be the warriors that we need, and they need support. So I'm saying to you, dear brothers and sisters, make your check or money order out to Ackerman Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. That's Ackerman Institute. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to do Cash App or PayPal, go to the $ Yah, M-B-A-R-U-T-I, Baruti, to make your contributions to the forward education of our children. Sanjay-Ayiti, Sister Gabrielle, who is doing some outstanding work in the East. She is definitely needs to be supported. Go online, sanjay-ayiti.org. sonjay-ayiti.org. sanjay-ayiti.org. Sister Gabby, look at the work she's doing with our children, the chicken farms, all kinds of good stuff. I mean, three things: education, food and nutrition, and medical care. That's their focus, because when you talk about countries that like this in those rural areas and not too much, not very far from the city centers, they don't get the support that they desperately need. And so therefore, they're relying on you brothers and sisters. Black Talk Radio Network Project Media Fund. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Scroll down, look on the right, and there's the donation button for the media fund. In order for us to do what we do, please support the Black Talk Radio Network Project 2019 Media Fund. Brother Scotty Reed does a good job, and I'm happy to be on Black Talk Radio Network and Time for an Awakening Media. That's right, African Perspectives. Oh, once again, announcement of Kibuka, which is coming up on the 16th of November here in Atlanta. Kibuka, remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Baba Baruti is an outstanding job. It's going to be at the Sweet Spot on Metropolitan Parkway, and it's going to be November 16th from 5 to 9. Definitely be there. All right. The Inye say, oh, let me just quick announcement on this. I'll be announcing this consistently. But my guest this Friday, November 8th, here on African Perspectives, will be Jeremiah Kamara. Jeremiah Kamara. If you haven't hip, or you're not hip to Jeremiah Kamara, go on YouTube. Type in his name, or Slave Sermons. Slave Sermons. Or his outstanding documentary, Contradictions. Or the other documentary, Holy Lockdown, Does the Church Limit Black Progress? He will be my guest this Friday, right here on African Perspectives on Time for an Awakening. Yes. Inye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Say Sim. We're going to start back with Saturday, Sunday, and today. November 2nd. Through the children of today, we believe we can build the foundation of the next generation upon which such a rock of morality, intelligence, and strength that the floods of prescription, prejudice, and persecution may descend upon it in torrents, and yet it will not be moved. It will not be moved. Mary Church Terrell. We so often hear that the children are our future. What does that really mean to people seemingly and eternally entrapped in a prescription, prejudice, and persecution? Does it mean that a future free of others' definitions of domination of us should be based on the idea that our children will somehow stumble upon the truth in a sea of lies by themselves? Does it mean that our children are born knowing what is characteristic of them and what is characteristic of others? Is it a suggestion that we have no obligation to provide guidance and order of our children needs to understand and of which continue to build an African reality in turn past the seriousness of this responsibility onto their children? I would think that we have lived long enough to know that our children must be taught what it means to be a liberated African, and that those lessons be effective must come from instruction and instructors who are non-contradictory and righteous. In order for our children to be re-Africanized nation builders, we need them to be what we have to be, the models of morality, intelligence, and strength they need to see in order to learn how to be liberators. Affirm. I am a teaching model of morality, intelligence, and strength. Affirm. I am a teaching model of morality, intelligence, and strength. Ashe. November 3rd. One is fully conscious when he or she is result of having been informed and instructed by the experience of his or her ancestors and the use that knowledge to master, understand, and become able to create institutions that allow him or her to live in harmony with the rest of nature and the universe. Professor James Small. In his book, Kemet Ikwe Armand spoke of two types of scholars, the keepers and the sharers. The keepers hoard knowledge in order to use it to control the people or to give it to tyrants so they can use it to dominate them. Sharers understand that knowledge is not a commodity that is sought in order to elevate oneself above others. Its purpose is not to divide, but to unite people in common elevation of truth through analytically equipping individuals with means to acquire a working knowledge of self. Warriors need to see themselves as sharers and attempt to act accordingly. It is not a choice per se. It is a natural and necessary outgrowth of our personality and our communal re-Africanization nation-building effort. Nothing in creation gives us the right to hoard the information, knowledge, and wisdom that our people need to rebuild and empower ourselves. Having the privilege of extensively studying that which is African and that which is not gives us no right to be self-centered, opportunistic keepers. We have no reason to apologize for being sharers. It is our honor. In order to make people whole, we must always be humble, giving sharers who speak in whatever language our people understand. Affirm, I am a sharer. Affirm, I am a sharer. November 4th. It is pathological for blacks to keep attempting to use moral suasion on a people who have no morality where race is the variable. Dr. Bobby Wright. Why do we feel we need to go to Urugu for validation when we know them? What about us and them makes it necessary for us to make them human in order for us to be human? Why is their approval necessary for us to be and teach our children to be African? Why do we need the Europeans' approval to properly rear our children and be our African selves? We do not need their interpretations of reality. We do not need their institutions. We do not need their voices in our ears or faces in our eyes. We do not need their validations to be African. We do not need them. We know who they are. We know their politics. We know their political science. We know their compromised ethics. We know their brand of moral immorality. So we need to persuade them of nothing for us to approve of ourselves. They are what they are because that is what they are. The only thing we need to be ourselves is the will in knowing our ancestors. Let me repeat that. The only thing we need to be ourselves is the will and knowing our ancestors. With this, the debate over our vision as a people end. Again, we do not need their validations to be African. We do, however, need to know how to think critically from our African center. We do need to be willing to openly embrace the struggle within that produces the word without. And we definitely need to anticipate victory. Affirm, I have the will and knowing of our ancestors. Affirm, I have the will and knowing of our ancestors. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Ah, brothers and sisters, I tell you, I appreciate the opportunity every time to come before you. And I have a good program today. I'll be talking about the resistance to the idea of reparations may be simply psychological. An article written by Dr. Wade Nobles. And you've heard me quote Dr. Wade Nobles a number of times. He has that definition that I believe is definitive, his definition of power, which is the ability to define reality, then have someone else accept that definition as if it's their own. Europeans define reality. They've imposed that on us, and we have accepted that definition as if it's our own. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in the Europeans' reality? First, we were the soulless people. No culture to speak of. We were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, of any significance. Who are we in their reality today? We are criminals. We are drug dealers, drug users, no fit fathers, no fit mothers. We're the scourge. That's who we are in the reality today. They define reality, and we have accepted that reality as if it's our own. So I'm really excited about this week. Excuse me. Because I'm going to have Jeremiah Kamara on this Friday. A lot of other good information. I tell you, to me, we need more programs like this. We need more programs on Time for an Awakening Media and Black Talk Radio Network and other outlets for our people. We need to raise the consciousness of our people. We need to make our people understand the direction that we must go. I know the majority of our people think in a certain way. Last night, I attended the book signing for Sister Bayina Bello, Dr. Bayina Bello of Haiti. She has a book of sisters who were in the revolution in Haiti. Good turnout, beautiful people. Dr. Marimba Ani, Baba Barudi and his lovely wife, Ya Barudi, many other good brothers and sisters in the community. Brother Amani, Amani Aquil, and Brother Kweku Lumumba, just some good brothers and sisters in the audience, and just a good presentation. You know, I'm trying to see if I can get Sister Baina Bello on the program to talk about the Haitian Revolution, the revolution in Haiti. And like I said, it's a good presentation. I really enjoyed it. And, of course, they had the book and the beautiful sisters, strong women. See, that's the thing about us and against the European. The European is anti-woman. Hence why the women always got to fight for their equal rights and so forth. And one of the things that the European did not understand as he came down into Kemet was the relationship, the symbiotic relationship between the man and the woman. When you see Medu Netcher, when you see statues, when you see artwork, you see men together with women. You go up to Greece, you see men with men, you see men with boys engaged in some illicit behavior. I'm telling you, there's nothing that the Caucasian has, the European has. I discard it all. You heard me say it, I'll continue to say it, you know, they take my ass out. In fact, let me play this for you. This is a good piece. You probably heard it. I know I played it before on the program. This is Joe Morton, Dinner in America.
Contribute. Say something.
You want me to say something? Fine. I'll say something. You people. You're not a race. You are a virus. You destroy the world. Everything beautiful, you poison. You drag us from our homes, you rape our daughters, murder our sons. You crack our spines and do all you can to break our will. You stab us. Then you put the knife in our hand and tell us it's our fault. And if you don't do it yourself, you stand by, close your eyes, and pretend there's nothing wrong. And then you pray to your God to silence our screams so that you can enjoy the happiness that we built for you with our blood. But it's not your fault. It's the only way you know how to be. And the only thing that will change anything is if another virus comes along and does to you what you do to us. And I hope that happens very soon.
This call is being recorded.
Well, this evening obviously hasn't gone as I'd hoped. And I think I'm having a full-on panic attack right now. So I'm going to go to the bathroom and get myself together, and when I come back, I hope you don't see me as the devil.
That's deep, man. I tell you, that's Joe Morton. If you know who Joe Morton is, a long time ago he played in the movie Brother from Another Planet. He's also played in the TV series Scandalous. He's, what's her name's father in Scandalous and a few other things. We have a caller. Caller 309. You're on. Caller 309.
Oh, you know, I'm actually just calling in to listen. Thank you.
You just want to listen?
Yeah, I'll put it on mute.
Okay, you're welcome to do so. Thank you so much. Yep, you can call in and listen. It can do that. I appreciate it. Anything that you do, to listen to the program or share the program. It's greatly appreciated. Yeah, that's a deep piece by Brother Joe Morton. They are a virus. And he says, there's nothing we can do. Brothers, I keep saying that. There's nothing we can do to change the mindsets of Europeans. They believe. I mean, I just stated that Dr. Shekhan Jop in 1974 at a symposium in Cairo saying, who were the ancient Kemetic people? The people that are there now are not the ancient Kemetic people. They came there in the 7th century, the 600s. With the spread of Islam all throughout Northern Africa. They came there at that time and they had no respect and no idea of what they were seeing, what they were. They took the limestone coverings off of the pyramids. That's why the pyramids look the way they do, to build mosques and other buildings and so forth. They had no idea. They are not the Kemetic people. They are not the pyramid temple builders. They are not the originators of that civilization from that time. Now, there's a video going around about some irate so-called Egyptian. From what I understand, it's not true. But what it says in the video, that we as African here in America, American Africans, going over to Egypt claiming that, you know, that it is ours, you know, and some even argue that us claiming to be the indigenous people of this land. Understand this, from a biological sense, we are the indigenous people on the planet, everywhere. And what happens is human beings adapt to environments. And so when you are caught up in an environment that is very harsh, or an environment that is not, you adapt to that environment. That's plain and simple, you know. So I got a piece that I'm going to deal with and read, and we're going to have conversation on. I hope it lasts for the 2 hours. Dr. Wade Nobles. I always use Dr. Wade Nobles' quote, and which is, I think, an outstanding quote. Power. You know, we talk about power all the time. We want to empower ourselves. We're seeking power. We want black power, you know, because they got white power, you know, power. And he said, power is not money. In fact, the paper money very soon may just be a chip or a credit card that you'll have. So you can't get no real power from money. Money's not power, because the money is whatever it is the European, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank say it is. They killed Muammar Gaddafi. They murdered him. The blood of Muammar Gaddafi is on the hands of Barack Obama, that's why I can't stand his ass, and Hillary Clinton. Well, I hate the Clintons, period, especially what they did to Haiti. They stole hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm telling you. I was going to say fuck the Clintons. Well, I'm sorry. I hate the Clintons, but okay. No power from money is power, education, information. If the education information that you receive is flawed and inaccurate, and it is, no power. The only power from education information that you could receive is a seriously infused African-centered education taught by us that will root you and ground you in knowledge of yourself. Education is politics and voting. We have more people in political office today than we have ever had, and our condition is worse. There's still mass incarceration. We're still at the low economic end. In fact, the economic disparity is so bad. The income inequality is so bad that it would take 230 years for us to be on a par with them. It is theirs, not ours. That's why a Caucasian with a high school diploma will make more money than a brother with a bachelor's, brother or sister with a bachelor's degree. Because they are the job givers and we are the job seekers, and those who we seek these jobs from can't stand our ass. So no power. Power is the ability to define reality, then have others accept that definition as if it's their own. That's what happened. The European defined reality. They went around the world claiming everybody's stuff in the name of. They didn't come to bargain. They didn't come to trade. They didn't come. They came to take. And if you didn't bow down to their theology or their methodology or their ways or their mores or whatever, they killed you. They eliminated you like they did the Aqua Indians or the Aqua indigenous people. Let me be more correct. See, I try my best, brothers and sisters, to use the right words, the right terminology. I believe it's important. Many people say words have meaning. That's why you won't hear me use the word, and particularly in reference to us, slave, because we were not slaves. We were captives. You won't hear me use the word black, because we're not black. We're African. They're not white. They're European or Caucasian. But they came up with this idea of being white, a collective whiteness, and they imposed it on the world. And in that collective whiteness was a denigration and degradation of Africans. That's why around the world today, being dark-skinned is something that is evil, sullied, bad. Every community that has them, in fact, they try to get rid of them. So Dr. Wade Nobles, this article dealing with the resistance to the idea of reparations may be simply psychological. The newly wide-ranging discussion of reparations is being stimulated by the recognition of the 400th anniversary of the introduction of kidnapped Africans at the birth of the American colonies in 1619 to later in 1776 to become the United States. This new old discourse has been rejuvenated and relived. The call to be repaired from the damage caused by European captivity has been openly and covertly rejected with a resounding no by most of the Caucasian population and some misguided and mimically infected American African people. The reason why may be found within my own dictum in black psychology that power is the ability to define reality and to have other people respond to it as if it were their own. It is also the thinking of the great American African psychologist, Dr. Bobby Wright. I just read that piece in the Inye Say Some, so I just think I'm just clicking today, y'all. That's what I believe. I'm just clicking. Dr. Wright suggested that the ideology of Caucasian extremism, or as the term goes, white supremacy. See, I don't use white, and I definitely don't use supremacy because they are not supreme. But they are extreme. They're very extreme in their behavior when it comes to people outside of them. If there's a cultural other, they are very extreme in terms of to subdue them or even eliminate them. So Dr. Rock suggests that the ideology of Caucasian extremism is supported by a pathological fear and hatred of Africanness, and by the implication, the rejection of the idea of reparations for African people may be found in this racist core of European American psyche. In utilizing diagnostic categories found in Caucasian psychology, mislabeled as general psychology, remember, Caucasian psychology, and it's mislabeled. It's because, see, to them, they are everything. So they're universal. What they say goes, everything. It is the benchmark. Dr. Wright notes that many Caucasian people suffer from a psychopathic personality disorder. He notes that the psychopath is an individual who is constantly in conflict with other persons or groups, is unable to experience guilt, is completely selfish, callous, and has a total disregard for the rights of others, has an inflated sense of self-worth, is manipulative, and refuses to accept responsibility. He argues that in relationships to African people, Caucasian people have historically reflected most, if not all, of these attributes or a psychopathic racial personality disorder, have exhibited that psychopathic racial personality disorder. This psychopathic condition was, in fact, created by Caucasian people. One must remember that for most of modern history, the entire known world held Africa in high regard as the place of high civilization. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, there was a time, I know when I have done presentations, particularly to younger people, it was hard for them to understand or even fathom that at one period of time in the world, that people came to sit at the feet of African people. What is the foundation of European excuse me, I'm getting over something here, so I apologize. What is the foundation of European civilization and its history of Greece and Rome? The foundation is African. The foundation is African. There is no Greek philosophy. There is no Socrates, Homer, Plato, Aristotle. No, they got it from Africa. But of course, you know, they're pledgers. They're thieves. And so they took what they wanted to take and put their name on it for them to be the father of this, you know, father of that. One instance is Hippocrates, the so-called father of medicine. In the Hippocrates, the Hippocratic oath that doctors take contains the word or the name Asclepius, which that is the name of Imhotep, the great multi-genius in Africa of the third dynasty, the advisor to the pharaoh Zoser, and the architect of the step pyramid, the oldest man-made structure in the world. So he argues that in relationships to African people, Caucasian people have historically reflected most, if not all, of these attributes, the psychopersonality. This psychic condition was in effect created by Caucasian people. One must remember that for most of modern history, the entire known world held Africa in high regard as a place of high civilization. Yet, strangely enough, the onset of the Age of Enlightenment and exploration, the Age of Invasion, the Age of Imperialism, the Age of taking people's stuff, eliminating them, suppressing them, or even just genocide, came at the advent of the American captive trade, racially based commercial human trafficking, and the need to redefine the meaning of Africa and the people of African ancestry. Think power is the ability to define reality. They defined that we were less than human, justifying our captivity. The cancerous idea of Caucasian extremism and American African inferiority was not accidental, genetically ascribed, nor divinely ordained. It was created and socially constructed. And I know that because of the theology, and I know we have Brother Jeremiah Kamara coming on this Friday, and we'll talk about the false or the fallacy of Christian religion and so forth. And but yet many people think that we are cursed, that as African people, we are cursed. The Nation of Islam. I mix no words on this program. None. And I'm willing to stand up and stand on it. Because I love African people, and we need a re-Africanization of our people. We need an African renaissance. And so anybody who says that because of the way we look, we are cursed. No, we are not. The cancerous idea of European extremism and American African inferiority was not accidental, genetically ascribed, nor divinely ordained. It was created and socially constructed through endemic to American life and living. Several sources can be identified as contributing to Caucasian psychopathic disorder, and mental madness. Number one, the Daughters of the Confederacy. United, the United Daughters of the Confederacy, UDC. The establishment of the United Daughters of the Confederacy in 1894, less than one generation after the end of the Civil War, signals the beginning of a premeditated attempt to change the narrative and create the indelible story of African savagery and white, African savagery and Caucasian honor and dignity. Growing to about 17,000 members at the turn of the century, the last century, the 1900s, and by World War I, the UDC, the United Daughters of the Confederacy, had over 100,000 women as members. What is important to note is that the UDC's mission and purpose was to tell of the glorious fight against the greatest odds a nation ever faced, so that their hollow memory shall never die. They even went so far as to create a commemorative Southern Cross of Honor medallion and distribute amongst 80,000 to Confederate veterans. It is important to note that the secession of the Southern states was an act of treason. The Southern states was an act of treason. And even though the North won, many of the persons were not imprisoned. Many of the persons who engaged in treason were not executed, none of that stuff. In fact, after a time, their land was confiscated, was returned to them. After a time, they just melted right in. Because it doesn't make a difference as far as I'm concerned. And if you have to understand this, that war was not fought because we were in captivity. The war was fought because of economics. Because if the war was fought because of our captivity, once we got out, we should have been treated as human beings and citizens from Jump Street. It shouldn't take amendments. Did it take any amendments to get theirs? To get their rights? They even went so far as to create a commemorative cross or medallion and distribute it amongst 80,000 Confederate veterans. It is important to note that the secession of the Southern states was an act of treason. Power is the ability to define reality. And the UDC attempts to redefine treachery as honorable and the lost cause. The right to murder and enslave African people was lauded as a genteel Southern South way with the happy captives, and identified the Confederate soldiers as deserving unquestionable respect. Brothers and sisters, we must understand that power is none of those other things people say. We must empower the people. Damn that. No, power is one thing. Power is the ability to define reality and then impose it on others. See, I like the part of the definition to define reality. We as African people must define reality and shape it and fashion it in our image and in our interests, not to impose it on anybody. We're not imposing it on anybody. But we understand that we need to shape that reality to give us the understanding of who we are historically and culturally. The active period of the United Daughters of the Confederacy from 1894 to 1910 overlapped with the American African people's freedom of 1890 to 1940 and development. While American African people were drawing on our own African cultural mores and moorings to establish schools, hospitals, businesses, and wholesome families, Caucasian consciousness was being continually fed, infected with the lie of their superiority and African inferiority and inhumanity. While erecting monuments all over the South, understand these monuments were not erected immediately. The monuments and all the fervor that we talked about a few years ago, those monuments were there when the move to desegregate began to take place. Has a constant symbol of, this is who we are, boy. While erecting monuments all over the South, United Daughters of the Confederacy stated that the most thoughtful and best educated woman should realize that the greatest monument that they could build in the South would be an education and educated motherhood. If 100,000 Caucasian women taught their children to teach their children, who in turn taught their children, and if only a third of the Caucasian women, 33,000, belonged to the United Democratic, actively wrote textbooks and lobbied for a particular educational curriculum that reinforced the idea that African people are less than human and undeserving of respect and equal access to resources that sustain life and living, then the intellectual atmosphere and consciousness of all America, not limited only to the South, remember that. In fact, the textbooks that many people read come out of Texas, would be stamped with the unchallenged belief in American-African inferiority. Think about the extent of this, this infection. The Mohawk Conference and the Negro Question. In 1890 to 1891, the leading Caucasian educators, missionaries, philanthropists, and politicians, including former President Rutherford B. Hayes, participated in the Mohonk Conference on the Negro Question, starting with the premise of African savagery and that captivity was a step up. Caucasians believe that, brothers and sisters. Caucasians believe that our captivity was really good for us because it exposed us to Western ideas and Western civilization. Even to this day, you had a politician in Florida saying, I'm glad Europeans enslaved my ancestors because I could be in Africa worshiping a tree. But I'm here in America worshiping Jesus. And she was trying to impose as a legislator that instructing that you had to have so much Christian instruction in public schools. Yeah. Americans learned Caucasian elite adopted an educational platform or strategy which aimed to complete the African so-called ascent to civilization by supplying American African teachers and preachers who would be anointed as leaders of the Negroes and whose offspring are probably the best African people who are against reparations to carry forth the Caucasian narrative. And those offering are probably the American African people who are against reparations. There should not be one person, one African person, who's against reparations. But I bet you if you really took a poll, I ain't talking about monetary compensation, just the question, are you for reparations for American African people? Are you? That's just it. Don't talk about money, how it would be. Just the idea. Are you in favor of reparations? Let me take a break. So when I come back from the break, I can finish. Don't have much. Well, I'll tell you what. Since I don't have much, I don't want to do that. I'll just finish. Nah, I'll tell you what. I'll do that. I'll take a break. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You hang in there with us. We're going to be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Right after this program on Monday and Wednesday is the Black People Matrix, Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Followed this evening by Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9, and then Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 p.m. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesday, from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. And then, on Thursday, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. Friday, Time for an Awakening with Brother Ellie and Brother Richard, Friday at 8 p.m. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC once again from 11 to 1. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Remember, brothers and sisters, this Friday, Jeremiah Kamara, the brother, if you go online and go to YouTube, you can put his name in, C-A-M-A-R-A, Jeremiah Kamara, or just put in Slave Sermons, his documentary Contradiction, his other documentary, Holy Lockdown, Does the Church Limit Black Progress? He will be here this Friday, November 8th, right here on Time for the Awakening Media on African Perspectives. Getting back to the conversation. And Dr. Wade Nobles, who I consider and definitely his definition of power, definitive, had an opportunity to talk with him and see him a number of times at the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization. I know that Dr. Wade Nobles, along with Dr. Naeem Akbar, they used to do tours. I'm not sure if they're still doing tours. I know, of course, as I said, my brother, Renoka Rashidi, he is in Kemet as we speak. He was in Europe last week and week before last. And he'll be home pretty soon, and then, of course, he'll be going out again. And in January into February of next year, he has three countries going to visit: Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau at a very good price. You need to check that out. Finishing up Dr. Wade Noble's article here, talking about the resistance to the idea of reparations may be simply psychological. And that it is, because that's how the Caucasian mind works. I'm going to go over to the Mohang conference again on the question, the Negro question. There's always been that. There's been a few conferences on what to do with the Negro, especially after captivity. Once captivity is over, what are we going to do? Of course, one suggestion was take some land in the western part of Africa, call it Liberia, which means liberty. Its capital, Monrovia, named after James Madison. I'm going to tell you, I saw a piece, brothers and sisters. This is a part of the menticide that we have. I saw a piece where this Caucasian in the Daishiki, along with a partner of his, two Caucasians in Liberia, talking about Liberia. And the young brothers and sisters all happy to be shown with them and so forth. And the only thing that really struck me was the fact that, yes, Liberia is a very poor country. The people are poor. Because when you have Caucasians and us, Dr. Bobby Wright again, he said, this defies all laws of probability. Everywhere they are and we are, they're in positions of dominance and control, and we are in a subservient position. Everywhere. everywhere on the continent, throughout the diaspora. It defies all laws of probability. And last night, my conversation with some brothers and sisters, and we were talking about the Pan-African Federalist Movement. Next year, we're having a conference here in Atlanta, a North American Pan-African conference here in Atlanta. There'll be conferences in other countries and on the continent, all culminating on the continent in 2021, in 2021, a united Pan-African conference talking about a United States of Africa. It's what Sheikh Anta Diop talked about. It's what Kwame Nkrumah talked about. It's what Patrice Lumumba talked about. It's what they all talked about. In fact, let me read this piece right quick before I get back into Wade Noble's piece. Kwame Nkrumah said this. In 1961, the nation had was the first to get rid of colonization in the country, the British, in 1957. I was fortunate enough to be there in 1997. I didn't make it in, you know, 07 when they had the 50th anniversary. But he said, I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge, not as just another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but is founded on hope, trust, friendship, and the dignity and the good of all mankind. 1961. Some years later, before he was deposed in a coup d'etat, he said this. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we will be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we've suffered heretofore. And that's what has happened. No truer words are spoken. That's what has happened. But but we're going to Africa. I hope to be there. I know I'll be here in Atlanta next year, and I will say some things, and if they don't like it, I don't give a damn, because it is time for us to make the right move. And the right move is for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. My good sister who I was with last night, Dr. Mimba Ani, she said this. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effects of the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. Our thoughts from European thoughts. So we need to separate our thoughts from European thoughts so that to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view because we are an African people. And because the future towards which Europe leads us is genocide. It's genocide. And we see it happening all around us. In 1890 to 1891, the leading Caucasian educators, missionaries, philanthropists, and politicians, including former U.S. President Rutherford B. Hayes, participated in the Mohonk Conference on the Negro Question. Starting with the premise of an African savagery and that captivity was a step up on the ladder to civilization. Americans learned Caucasian elite adopted an educational platform or strategy which aimed to complete the Negro's so-called ascent to civilization by supplying American African teachers and preachers who would be anointed by leaders of the quote Negro race and whose offspring are probably the American African people who are against reparations today to carry forth this Caucasian narrative. The birth of a nation. Continuing the self-inflicted infection of their own sense of humanity was the film The Birth of a Nation by D.W. Griffin, which premiered in 1915 to an audience of 3,000 Caucasian people. 3,000. In this film, Griffin portrays Caucasian women as pure and pristine and the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK, as honorable and courageous saviors of the Southern way of life. Griffin portrays African people, Caucasians in blackface, as ignorant, lustful for Caucasian women, uncouth, disrespectfully drinking liquor and eating fried chicken and throwing the bones on the ground and eating watermelon in sacred halls of Congress. It is paradoxical that the protege of one of the main characters, the Northern congressman, was a vicious, psychopathic mulatto named Silas Lynch. Connecting of the word Lynch with mulatto and psychopath was probably not an accident. It's not a coincidence. This is the first film ever to be shown at the White House. And it's reported that Woodrow Wilson said, "It is like writing history with lightning. And my only regret is that it is all too terribly true." It is all so terribly true. In every case, from mothers to filmmakers to educators, missionaries, philanthropists, and politicians, the Caucasian narrative demeans and degenerates African people and affirms that we have no redeeming value or worth and only deserve disregard, domination, exploitation, dictation, and control. It seems therefore worthy of consideration that the Caucasian response, no to reparations, and even the rejection of the idea of African reparations, American African reparations, may be the result of an untreated racial psychopathology that even affects some misguided African people. Until Caucasian people address the truth about their responsibility for their part in the American story, they will continue to claim that they are not responsible for the past. Because of the psychopathic racial personality disorder, they may be unable to recognize and comprehend that African reparations is part of it, is part of their own psychic repair, reparations, and healing bomb. The support for reparations for African people alone may help Caucasian people to reclaim their lost humanity. Yeah. The Association of American African Psychologists in the Bay Area chapter is committed to providing this readership with monthly discussions about critical issues in African mental health. The ABIS Bay Area is a healing resource. We can be contacted, and they give their email address on Gmail. And readers are welcome to join us at our monthly chapter meetings every third Saturday at the West Oakland Youth Center from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. That's Baba Dr. Wade Nobles. You know, if we don't understand this and we can't truly comprehend all the things that we are up against and why, particularly here in this country, but it's not only here, it's elsewhere. Even in South Africa, when they talked about xenophobia, that's not xenophobia is fearing other people outside of who you are. What is happening in Southern Africa is Afrophobia, fear of other Africans. Because what happened is that South African education is limited to the brothers and sisters in South Africa. So Africans in Nigeria, Africans in other parts, particularly West Africa, Ghana, are more equipped to deal with the jobs that are being offered in South Africa. So the South African thing, they're taking our jobs. And of course, the Caucasian is the job giver. Even, yes, in South Africa. Yes, Caucasians still run in South Africa. If you are in control of the money, you in control of the military, you in control. I love what some of the brothers and sisters are doing in South Africa in terms of making the claim. Give us our land back, Brother Malema. Love him. Pray for him. Because nowhere in the world can African people go in anybody's land and say that it is mine, like the European has done in Africa, particularly in South Africa and in Namibia. And I'm quite sure there's other areas where Caucasians, because Caucasians have the idea and the attitude that they are. We are. And so we can go and define reality and we shape it and fashion it in our image and interest. And so I'm saying to brothers and sisters, a united effort by our people. I know there's going to be a lot of agent provocateurs, infiltrators, Negroes, arguing issues like they argue against reparations. To me, that's just ludicrous, but that is the mental side. That is a psychological issue that we are dealing with. The effects of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege on our minds. That's why every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, that's what I talk about on this program. I could talk about a number of other things. I'm not real versed in nothing, as you can hear by this program, if you listen to this program enough. All of that I do is I find something that I want to bring to present to our people, present that, get some resource people in. I'm very excited about this Friday, bringing in Brother Jeremiah Kamara, to talk about the effects of the theology that Europeans have imposed on us and how that is critical to our thinking, our behavior. When you have a theology, you know, when they talk about the slave narratives, they took all the revolutionary stuff out the Bible. So this is a so-called, quote, slave Bible. This is the one that says, slaves, obey your masters. You know, don't fight against them. Masters, you can whoop a slave up to 40 stripes. Justifying our captivity. And like I'm saying, you know, we've done it too. We have done it too. So sometimes I sit at this microphone, sit at this table and at this microphone, and I think about our condition and our situation. I'm an optimistic person. I truly am. Although many things that I speak on, they don't sound that way. I understand that. But that is the truth that we need to deal with. We can't be like some other people who have said, well, just ignore it and it'll go away. Just pretend that it doesn't exist. Everything that happens is Europeans dictate. Everything that happens is dictation by the Europeans. It is their way. And then either we follow their way or we do as we must do, create our own way. But one thing that prevents us is the fear that they have put into us. Now, you and I both know that if a system was equal and just and people were truly judged honestly, we'd kick their ass. You and I know that's a fact. Well, yeah, well, they might be more athletic, but they're not as intelligent as we are. We have done things that they can't even explain. We have done things to the point that they want to put a label on it that some aliens did it because we couldn't have done it. That's how arrogant they are. Just like making Europe a continent. In nobody's definition is Europe a continent. Europe is just the western part of Asia. But they use the Caucasus Mountains, Caucasian, as a dividing point, says this is the European continent. That's how bold they are. And they have imposed that on the world. Because the world looks at African people with disgust and disdain. Wherever we are, people degrade us, demean us. That's why I'm saying in 2021, we must lay the gauntlet down and say, this is the deal. We are reclaiming our continent. We are reclaiming our lands. We're asking brothers and sisters who have the wherewithal to come home, to teach, to build roads, highways, cities, subdivisions, ports, schools, hospitals, railways, a massive infrastructure on the African continent, ability to control the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they damn it don't want to pay for. That is ours. The diamonds, the gold, the bauxite, the silver, titanium, cobalt, petroleum, you name it, we have it. It's on the continent. It's more on the continent than anywhere else on the planet. I wouldn't lift a finger to fight Caucasians to stay here. I wouldn't march. I wouldn't petition. I wouldn't vote. I don't give a damn about here. Oh, Brother Oshie, man, our people fought and died to be here. You know, our blood has been shed. Our blood has been shed every damn where. But it is Africa is our home. Africa is our heartbeat. There's no way in hell that you could stay in this country. I know the Republic of New Africa and the Nation of Islam have said, give us some land here. In the midst of an open and sworn enemy with the history that these folks have. As Malcolm said, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. What is the history of Europeans as it relates to us in this country? What is that history? Anytime that African people started to make an inroads or started to do something even for themselves because of the envy and jealousy and pettiness and greed of Europeans, they vamped on it. They stole, they pillaged, they raped, and they destroyed. Excuse me. That's their history. That's who they are. Just like it said in that Joe Morton piece, that is who they are. They are a virus. The Urugu virus. And many of our people have been infected with the Urugu virus. And that virus makes us think and behave in a way that is against ourselves. Makes us ashamed to be African. Makes us hate ourselves. That virus causes us to bleach our skin, to do radical surgery to our nose and so forth. That virus makes us wear it's an evil. And so what I'm saying, if we want a future for African people, it is not here. If we want to be a people again who have respect and nobility and accountability and responsibility for each other, it is not here. Because anytime that we've done something, anytime that we are starting to gain a foot, there's Caucasian backlash. Look at the history. All the way up to this present day. I came on the fire department because of affirmative action. They said that in terms of public employment, in terms of different departments and so forth around the country in major cities where American Africans are now becoming a sizable number of people in that particular municipality or locale or city or town, whatever. They initiated affirmative action programs for the police department, the fire department, teaching any public works job. And then they took it away, just like in Reconstruction after captivity. Didn't last but 10 years. The people who were elected, all the things that had happened, Jim Crow, segregation, not in the South, everywhere. Everywhere. If you south of the North Pole, that's right, I include Canada. Canada was not no haven, no Mecca, no good destination for us either. Excuse me. There, you know, I know in history, not necessarily in history, but in reminiscing, in romanticizing, in thinking of past, we say the good old days. And for my generation coming up, being born in the 50s, in the early 50s, so the 50s is my childhood, but it's the 60s where I grew up, and that's why, and that helped shape me to who I am. It was the 60s, coming into the understanding of love for self, black power, and so forth. It was the 60s. Had my big fro, you know? It was the 60s. But you also remember the 50s, growing up and being a child. Good old days. There was never. We can romanticize all we want. Reality is there was never any good old days for African people in the Caucasian reality. Now, let me just say that for African people. I ain't talking about, well, I never experienced that. We had a great time when we were kids. In fact, we were the first to move in that neighborhood. We were the first. We were the first to go to that school. I even got into college. We were the first people. We were the first. My dad was the first one to be hired at that job. We were the first. They still doing that bull today. A lot of times when I'm on Facebook, I scroll down from that. This sister got a this many scholars. I don't give a damn about us in any so-called achievement in their reality. I want us to begin to shape and fashion reality in our image and in our interest. We can do that starting here, but we can't make that a total thing here because this is theirs. Look what they've done to the indigenous people here. They have made a numeric comeback from what I understand. But still, the millions of people who have died, who have lived here since the Europeans discovered this in the Caribbean, Central and South America, because of the Portuguese, the Spanish, the English, those three particularly, the Pope, the Christian, the Catholic Pope, sanctioning, giving them blessings. Now go out and subdue all the heathens. Take their land. Convert them. If you can't convert them, kill them. Brothers and sisters, I'm not asking you to hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody. I recognize African people being the first people on the planet and doing what we have done. Showing people the way. Showing people how. I recognize that. But let me tell you what I do hate. I hate the people who came up from an icebox in Europe who believed that they were superior over other people and imposed themselves on everybody else, claiming everybody's stuff in the name of. I hate it. I hate what they have done. Giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position with us. The fathers and mothers of humanity, us, at the lowest position. I hate it with a passion. That's why Caucasians can't tell me sugar, honey, iced tea. And I mean it. In fact, I could care less about talking to Caucasians about it. Debating them, because to me, their position is defenseless. What you have done to humanity, you can't rationalize that. You can't try to find a way to come up with a logical argument and discussion about what the hell you have done to humanity and now the planet. You are, as that piece said, a virus, and you have infected the planet. You are killing the planet because of your greed and selfishness. Well, I don't believe in climate change or global warming. I want to continue to pump oil. I want to continue to do whatever I want to do. It's a hoax. I read that article about 30-something years ago. And it said, if you do not begin to change, these are some of the calamities that may happen to the planet that you're seeing today. Extreme weather patterns, more violence. What hit what hit the Bahamas and stayed there. Usually a hurricane goes through. It stayed right there for damn near 2 days. 2 days. Almost 48 hours. A sustained 100-something mile an hour winds and vicious storms and flooding and so forth. Total devastation. The fires in the southwest. The flooding that happens across this country and other parts. It is a result of the greed of Europeans. The fires that are happening on the continent of Africa that you don't hear about. We, brothers and sisters, we as American Africans and Africans in the diaspora have every right to help liberate Africa. We have every right to go home. The ignorance that is displayed by us and them, yes, the ignorance by Africans. I've been to Africa. I have heard. I've seen. To me, it is sickening. I can't wait till Friday to talk about how it is in Africa. The white Caucasian Jesus in Africa, that is, and then you have ministers on the continent who, these ministers in Nigeria particularly, make more money than Creflo Dollar and T.D. Jakes. They're up there with the other big Caucasian ministers who fly jets all around the country. I got to have a jet. Just like Creflo Dollar, 60-something million dollars. I got to have a jet. I can't fly first class on an airline. The people, no, I got to have my own. I got to go out there and, you know, preach this word. Prosperity gospel. I know there's some others of us who the liberation gospel. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. I don't see Christianity, Islam, or any other theology doing what needs to be done to liberate African people. That's me. If you can show me something, because we've been involved in these theologies for hundreds of years. And then our justification on the Christian tip. Well, you know, Christianity began in Africa. In India, I don't give a damn what happened. All I know is in who is in control today. Just like, well, no, we're the black Hebrew Israelites. Yeah. I don't give a damn what happened. All I know is who is in control today. The European Jews, yes, the Ashkenazi Jews, they have no genetic claim to what was Palestine and now they call Israel. They have no claim. I understand that. But what they do have is the collective Caucasian mindset of dominance and control. In fact, it's that way in Islam. The people who are in control of Islam, the Saudis and many other Muslims consider themselves Caucasian. They consider themselves Caucasian and they behave in that way. How do they behave in your neighborhood? At the convenience stores they have? Any other kind of entrepreneurial business that they may have? How do they behave? We have no friends. Dr. Clark said it best. We have no friend. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. Not that you like the cleft in your chin or the dimples in your cheeks, your arched eyebrows, your nose. No. You like what you see in terms of who you are as an African. You like who you see culturally. Spiritually,
and you like others who are like you. And you are willing to work with others who are like you. You are willing to make sacrifices to bring on a reality that is African. You are willing to work together to establish and root yourself in an African reality. Europeans define reality. They've made us accept their reality as if it's our own. And we constantly should ask questions. Who are we in the Europeans' reality then and today? And we must be honest. We must look at it historically. We must seek out brothers like Dr. Wade Nobles. Seek out those honest scholars and historians, those African-centered scholars and historians. The men and women who, without foundation money or grant money, reclaim, recapture, and restore the history of our people. They understood it so much better back then when Carter G. Woodson said, if you control a man's mind, you don't have to worry about his actions. When you render him an outcast, he'll be an outcast. If you keep sending him to the back door, he'll make, even when there ain't no back door, he would want one because of his training. He would cut one for his benefit. Drusilla Dungy Houston, who Carter G. Woodson started, when he said what I just said, that was 1933. That's a quote from The Miseducation of the Negro, which is just as relevant and germane today as it was in 1933 when he wrote it. But Drusilla Dungy Houston in 1926, the same time Dr. Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week in the month of February, because he understood that these Caucasians have no respect for our life, and that we have no history. So he started Negro History Week. But at the same time, Sister Drusilla Dungy Houston wrote a book called The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire. She says, out of ethnology, geology, archaeology, paleontology, as well as history, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our race dare not refute. The most pointed person, most pointed of that quote, she says, how can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? That's our problem. Our ignorance. Our consistent belief. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants that they can't do without and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, it's been a great day. I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodia. Bibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Peace, family.